The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Each year on the seventh Sunday of Easter, we hear a portion of John 17. And in John 17, Jesus prays for three distinct groups. First, he prays for himself. Second, he prays for his disciples. And third, he prays for those who will come to believe because of what they hear from the disciples. This year, we hear Jesus' prayer for himself, and we hear the beginning of his prayer for the disciples. But it's not just a prayer for the disciples, it's also a prayer for us, a prayer for all of God's people throughout the world, a prayer that brings us to a very important point, a prayer that brings us to a point that our world needs to hear today. And it's in the very last line. Jesus prays that his disciples are one, as he and God are one. Jesus prays for unity. Now, it didn't take a pandemic to show us that we aren't united in how it is that we believe. We have in our nation today. Everything seems a little bit more polarized than it used to be. You're either all the way to the left or all the way to the right. You're either completely for something, completely against something, whatever it might be. And because of this, there feels like there's little room to somehow be in the middle. And if we can't find ourselves coming to the middle, then it's hard to be united. It's hard to be united in what we believe and what we and in how we react to the world, how we live in the world. And I think it's also important to distinguish between unity and uniformity. Uniformity, if you think about it, you think of the word uniform. People wear uniforms so that everyone looks the same. But we think of unity as something else. Unity doesn't necessarily mean uniformity. We can have very different opinions, we can have very different ideas, but in the end, it's our unity that brings us together because we have a common goal that we share. As I was on my way up Mount Pisgah the other day, I was listening to a book, which I do as I hike Mount Pisgah each week. And one of the things the book was talking about is what distinguishes humans from other animals, even other primates. And one of the things that distinguishes humans is the fact that we have the whites of our eyes. And the belief is that the reason why we have the whites of our eyes is because it allows us as humans to communicate without using any kind of words or sounds. So there was a time in our history where the whites of our eyes would have allowed us to hunt together in groups, in a time when we're trying to feed families, feed villages, feed the people that we loved. And so the whites of our eyes became a very important part of who we were, because it allowed for this communication in a different way. And so as I was thinking about this, and as I was thinking about what this means, is one of the reasons why that was so important is that you could then communicate what you were looking at. Was there danger ahead? They could tell by the party of people with you could tell by where you were looking. Oh, I need to look in that way. Maybe there's something that we're hunting that way. Maybe there's danger that way. Maybe there's something else that's going on. And so I've been thinking about this a lot in how we talk about unity and where it is that we as God's people should be keeping our eyes. And really, I think John 17 gives us a really good idea of where it is that we should keep our eyes. And it comes from something that Jesus says. He says, "This is eternal life, that you know God and that you know Jesus Christ, who God sent." This, in the end, is where we are meant to keep our eyes. That when someone looks at us, they can see that we are looking to this one who gives us life eternal. That we're looking to Jesus, who then helps us see God in this way. And I think in many ways, this is what unity means. Unity means having that same similar goal, even sometimes if it means we might get to that goal in different ways. It's one of the things that I've recognized in the last several years, maybe more than I have at other times in my life. But sometimes when I meet somebody who really thinks different than I do, who really has a different political leaning, has different ideas, whatever it might be. But sometimes the longer that we talk, we recognize that we both hold some very common ground. Like the end goal that we both would like to see happen is the same thing. But the difference that we have between the two of us is how we get to that destination. We might have very, very different ideas about how we reach that ultimate goal. And one of the things we've learned in our history that we've learned through time is that there are times when we need to compromise. There are times to say, I see how you want to get to the goal, I see how I want to get to the goal, but here working together is how we're going to make it to this goal. There have been other times in history, and maybe other times pointing to war, when there isn't time to figure out what's the best way. It's simply, it's time to storm the beach and we're moving forward with that same goal in mind of reaching a certain point. And so, in some ways, I feel like though we've made it so that we might understand where the goal is, but we've forgotten how it is that we can work with one another to get to that goal. And so as we hear Jesus' prayer for himself, as we hear Jesus' prayer for his disciples, I think it's good for us to remember again what it means to follow Jesus. To remember again what it means to keep our focus on Jesus. what it means for us to follow where he will lead us. And that we're not following just for any old reason, but we're following because in following we know him, and in knowing Jesus we know God, and because we know Jesus and God, we know what eternal life is like. I think over these past several weeks, we've all reacted differently to the passing days of spending more time in isolation, spending more time in our home, spending more time trying to figure out what it is that we should do next. I know for myself, this past week has been hard. I can't point to any one thing that made these days harder than they have been, but for whatever reason, I kind of got to Thursday and I was just worn out. I didn't feel like I had a great sense of where I was supposed to be moving forward, a great sense of what to do next, or maybe just an overwhelming feeling of all the things that I had left to do without the time that I felt like I needed to give them to do. And I have a sense that many of you have felt that way over these weeks. And it's not necessarily something that lasts a really long time or something that holds us back, but it's the reality of how we're feeling at that moment. And I think one of the unifying things, one of the things we can do in our unity for one another is to remind each other that whatever you're feeling on that given day is an okay thing to feel. I've said this along the past several weeks. I've said this over and over again, but that each one of us can be allowed to feel the things that we feel. That's important. But we also then need to recognize that somebody else's experience may be very different than our own. I have so many things to be grateful for over these past weeks. I have work to do. I have a job to come to. I'm still receiving a paycheck. These are all things that I can be thankful for. And it also then helps me to recognize that not everyone is in that situation. Not everyone has been getting a paycheck. Some people have lost their job. Some people have just been laid off. Some people's businesses are closed or will be closing or have closed, whatever it might be. We're all in different situations. But one of the things that unites us is this common hope and belief in who we are as people. In some ways, people of this nation, but also as God's people in the world. And so as we look out for one another, as we lift up one another, then we find our common place in Jesus Christ. We find our hope and we find our unity. And as I said in my reflection from Mount Pisgah, and some of you have seen it and some of you haven't seen it, but I also think there's some important things that we see here in this prayer of Jesus, that Jesus prays. And one, Jesus, I think it's important that Jesus shows us the importance of praying for ourselves. I know that each one of you have had moments in your life where you have prayed for yourself fervently. And sometimes it's selfish prayers. Sometimes it's like, geez, God, can't you give me this? I'll trade you that, whatever it might be. We've done those kind of prayers, praying for ourselves, but sometimes we just need to pray for, here's what I'm feeling, God, and I'm lifting it up to you. And sometimes praying for ourselves may even just be sitting there silently saying, God, I don't have the words, but here I am, open to you. And I think then the second part of that that's important that we hear today is that in this prayer, Jesus prays for each one of us, that Jesus prays for you. That even if you are feeling alone, even if you are feeling isolated, separated, even if you're struggling from day to day with whatever's going on, it's comforting and it's good to remember that Jesus prays for you, that Jesus lifts you up wants you to be who you are meant to be, wants you to be as strong and lead a fulfilling life as you can. Jesus is praying for your well-being in the midst of all of this. And finally, in this prayer, not the part we read today, but the part we'll read another year, is Jesus prays for those who will believe because they have heard the word from the other disciples, from others. He prays for us. He prays for the people who will believe because they have heard the good news shared from us. And I think that's an important piece of who we are as God's people as well, that we're constantly praying for those who have yet to believe, have yet to hear, that they too might become open to God's word in their life, that the Holy Spirit may move in them and bring them into community in God's people. And again, I want to give you permission. And the permission is this, is that Jesus gives us this prayer. Prayer for self, prayer for disciples, prayer for those who will believe because they've heard what the disciples say. And Jesus is able to do things that you and I aren't always able to do. And so I give you permission. I give you permission if there are days, if there have been days in the past, if there are days moving forward where the best you can do is pray for yourself. I give you permission if there are days that you can't pray, you can't even put words to pray for yourself, but you simply remember that Jesus prays for you, that Jesus cares for you, that Jesus is concerned about you. And then also that there may be days where you find yourself able to pray for others. Sometimes we can pray for others and we're not able to pray for ourselves. And who might be those who need to hear God's good news in your life? One of the things I recognized this week as well, and I've heard it from a few different people, and I think this is important because I think it's a nudging of the Holy Spirit in this time. And I encourage you, and whether it's another church member, whether it's a member in your family, your extended family, a friend, whoever it might be. But if someone comes to your mind and you haven't seen them for a while, you haven't talked to them for a while, pick up the phone and give them a call. Send them a text, however it might be that you normally communicate. Because it might just be the Holy Spirit saying to you, they could use a phone call from you. They could use a conversation with you. They could just like to know that you're checking in with them. And so I encourage you, especially in this time, to not pass up on those little nudgings of the Spirit. If someone comes to mind, give them a call. Reach out. See how they're doing. Because, again, this is one of the ways that we show our unity in Christ, that we show our unity in who God has created us to be. When we love one another, when we love our neighbors, when we love all of those who God has put into our care and into our lives that we share. We know this week that there are a couple of families who are hurting, two young sons who have died, one in a hit and run accident, and another in another way that we're not quite sure, but he was a high school senior at Willamette. We pray for those families because this loss makes no sense at any time. And so we hold them in our hearts. We hold them in our prayers. We keep them close to us. And again, this is how we show our unity. This is how we show that we are one. When we continue to lift up to God ourselves, our neighbors, our friends, and those we have yet to meet and to know. Jesus prays for you. Jesus is just about to go to his betrayal. He's just about to go and die on the cross. And you might think that in those moments, the only person he needs to think about is himself. Or the only conversation he needs to have is between him and God about what they are about to do. But even in these moments, Jesus prays for you. Jesus prays for you that you will know him. And through knowing him, that you will know God. And because you know him and you know God, that you will have eternal life. This is good news. Amen.